The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
John Anik, Kenny Florian.
Oh, my God!
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
You got to be fucking shitting me, Ken Flo. I can't even believe we are doing this right now. I really can't believe it. It is Monday, April 2nd, 2018. It's episode 150 of the Anik and Florian Podcast. This was supposed to be a celebration today, Kenny. Mm-hmm. And actually, due to some scheduling conflicts, we taped most of this show last Thursday.
Right.
So you surprised me coming in studio this morning because of this breaking news. You're supposed to be on the road going somewhere for some other work. So it's great to see you. I can't even believe it, man. And despite the prior history, right, the odds were very much stacked against this happening, right? This fight getting canceled a fourth time. You know by now, for the fourth time in as many bookings, this fight between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov has been fucking canceled. Now, the silver lining is great, and Max Holloway is stepping up on a week's notice. He will face Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that breaking news broke with the news that Ferguson was out. But, Kenny, I can't even believe that we are sitting here, and this is the narrative come fight week for 223, man. I'm sick.
It makes no sense. And how about this? Tony did not hurt himself in training, because a lot of people were kind of misunderstanding that. Like, well, what was he doing? What is he doing training this hard, this close to a fight? Unfortunately, it was not. It was just kind of the most random of accidents. He was apparently actually at the Fox lot, not too far from here.
What are you doing over there, man?
I know, man. He was walking. Someone either called his name or he didn't expect to see someone. He turned around and he tore his LCL or something like that. I can't believe it, dude.
All right, well, coming up today, we're going to talk to UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. That was taped on Thursday. You got a new Ray Longo minute, director-producer Bobby Razek as well. Before we get there, though, of course, Kenny, we got to hit all the angles of this breaking news, and I really appreciate you coming in studio so we can hammer some of this stuff. And we're also, by the way, going to go live today with nutritionist Tyler Minton. He's actually embedded with Khabib Nurmagomedov right now. Also works very closely with Max Holloway, whom he considers one of his best friends. So Tyler Minton, the Melee Way, right in the middle of this whole thing. And he's very busy, but he'll break off a few minutes for us, as I mentioned, DC, here in a little bit. So for starters, Kenny, this news broke on April Fool's Day. And the first thing Dana White said when the video went out was, this is not an April Fool's joke. And once I saw that video, I took him at his word, right? Like, this is a man of many resources. He's got a lot of things to do. I would think better ways to spend his Easter weekend, even though he likes a good prank. This fight wasn't one to mess with the masses on, right? They're very sensitive to it. It had been canceled three times prior. So once I saw Dana say that, I just felt like we were in for the worst. And sure enough, here we are Monday morning.
I sent the news to a couple of crazed MMA buddies of mine, Kenneth Capello, who you know, and Ty West, who's a director. And immediately they sent me the emoji of this, you know. They're like, it's April Fool's. Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah. Nice try, dude. They've been waiting for this fight forever, and it didn't come together. So, I mean, everyone was pretty incredulous about the news. And I don't know, man. I just don't get it. This fight is cursed. You basically can never make this fight ever again, right? I mean, fans aren't going to buy it. Like, you know, first time, second time, third time, fourth, fifth time? Do you try to put this together for a fifth time? I don't know, man. It's wild. It's amazing that Max was able to step up on this late notice. He was at the Fox lot a couple weeks ago. He did not get injured. He's coming back from an ankle injury himself. But anyways, Tony has to be absolutely devastated. Khabib as well. These guys have been training for each other for years, literally. And the fact that this fight isn't happening is very disappointing. But as far as a replacement goes, you know, Holloway is probably as good as it gets.
The rub, though, when it comes to Max Holloway is the weight. It's the ankle injury that you mentioned, right? The facts are this is a fighter who couldn't defend his title on March 3rd against Frankie Edgar. So Brian T. City Ortega stepped in and knocked out Frankie Edgar, of course. But Max Holloway was an injured fighter. He is also a massive featherweight who has told me that he's going to fight at middleweight before his UFC career is said and done. Not just a permanent move up to lightweight that everybody expected at some point in the not-too-distant future, but to compete at welterweight and middleweight as well. Those are very real aspirations for Max Holloway. So, Kenny, as a fighter, how best to maximize these 5 days, right? I mean, Not to mention who's walking out of the red corner in Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Right. Well, I mean, at this point, how much work can you really get done? I mean, right. First of all, Max has been preparing for other takedown-style fighters, but nobody like Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
And the big thing for Max, what allows him to be so successful in the octagon, is his ability to really maximize the efficiency of his energy throughout a fight. This guy does not get tired, but he knows how to pace himself in a fight. So he has that going for him on this kind of short notice. But still, you want to get a lot of good work in before a five-rounder.
Right.
And a five-rounder against someone like Khabib Nurmagomedov, a guy who will inevitably push you towards a slow death throughout that fight.
Right.
So this guy is nonstop pressure. And, you know, if I'm looking at one guy that Max has faced that's similar to a Khabib Nurmagomedov, I can't find him. I just can't find him.
And as far as challenges for Khabib Nurmagomedov in this matchup, I mean, I guess there are some similarities maybe in terms of the length, but Khabib's the type of stylist, Kenny. He's going to go in there and really try to cut off and close distance and do what he does. I mean, how much do you think strategically he's trying to make changes here during fight week, if at all?
Not much, you know, because the beauty in Khabib's game is the fact that this guy does the exact same thing every single time, no matter who he's facing. So it's always going to be an easy transition for a fighter like a Khabib Nurmagomedov. In a lot of ways, this is a tougher fight. I think Max Holloway is way more technical than Tony Ferguson. Is he more dangerous? I don't know. But he's way more technical. He knows how to use his length extremely well. Tony gets hit a lot. Tony doesn't use his reach like I think he should. Max Holloway does. Max Holloway is probably around 5'11". So he's going to be tall. He's going to be taller than Khabib, I think. Or they might be right around the same height. But in either event, also, Holloway's a guy who could switch his stances very well. He moves very well. He can fight going backwards very well. Can he stop the takedown? Is he as much of a threat on the ground with his submission game as Tony Ferguson? I don't think so.
Right. Now, some people might take a prime, fully trained, full training camp behind him, Max Holloway, over Tony Ferguson if you're trying to find somebody to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov. But I think it's going to be few and far between in terms of people who would take Max Holloway on 6 or 7 days' notice. And I think largely what he's going to be doing this week is just going to be trimming weight and trying to put himself in the best position as humanly possible. Yeah. And certainly there's some financial gain for him here. I respect the fact that he doesn't care so much about his winning streak that he is willing to step up. It's not as though this isn't without opportunity, Kenny, and him trying to become a simultaneous two-division champion, but just a huge ask to do it on 6 days' notice. It'll endear him to the fans, Kenny, certainly, but you got to think financially something was done for Max Holloway. Otherwise, I'm not sure he would have stepped up here and put that streak on the line.
Well, there's no doubt about that, but I will say this Hawaiian fighter, he just wants to scrap, man. He wants to fight. He was over at UFC Tonight a couple weeks ago at the Fox lot talking about how he wants to fight this guy, he wants to fight that guy. Anyone who wants to fight him, he'll fight him. It doesn't matter. So he really means it, and this is proof that he means it. Not a lot of guys want to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov, and how about this? This is a guy who is 145-pound champion. So I just hope that, and I think this will be the case, I think he's going to go out there and fight a very good fight for a while it lasts, hopefully. This is a big ask for him on this kind of short notice. I just hope that he doesn't kind of take so much damage in the fight where people don't respect him as much, because you know how the fans are. You know, I hope that's not the case. I hope people realize how much of a man this guy is to take this fight and put kind of his reputation on the line like this. I think is unbelievable. So for Max Holloway, he gets all my respect. I mean, how about this scenario? If he wins, if he goes out there and catches Khabib on the I mean, dude, again, if there's one mixed martial arts fighter who can now say, I want Conor, it would be Max Holloway at this point, right? I mean, how big of a fight would that be?
Well, and you're right, and there are a handful of fighters, Kenny, Max Holloway among them, who are that Donald Cerrone type, who want to fight multiple times a year. The weight issue is the only reason probably why a guy like Max Holloway isn't competing 8 or 10 times a year. So power to Max Holloway for stepping up. And this almost does call for a tattoo bet, right, Kenny, given the circumstances to get like an 808 tattooed on my forearm if Max Holloway is able to get this thing done.
That's a great point. You bring up a great point. Nate Diaz did it. So everyone who was saying, this is impossible, right, Nate taking this fight on short notice. The guy who has nothing to lose in a mixed martial arts fight is the most dangerous opponent in the world. When all the pressure is on the other guy and you got no pressure and you're going in there, you know, nice and relaxed. You really don't have – he didn't have enough time to really get nervous about the fight. I mean, Max Holloway is going to be a dangerous go for anybody in any weight class. It's going to be interesting, man.
So Tony Ferguson is going to be stripped or will lose his UFC interim lightweight championship before he can defend it. I guess he wasn't even going to be defending that belt anyway. He could be facing surgery. So very devastating news for Tony Ferguson, who still – sits in the record books as the only 155-pound fighter, and by the way, in this modern era, to have a double-digit UFC winning streak, and that'll be back on the line when he returns, but probably won't be in a championship setting. And Kenny, to your point earlier, Dana White has said, I believe he told ESPN, he will never book this fight again, and crazy to think that me as a fan would be jumping off too, but you know, four times, man, and having it go by the boards this time. You know, I gave our listeners a chance and 2-to-1 odds on this podcast over the last several weeks. Odds on this fight getting canceled before fight night. And nobody took me up on it, Kenny.
No.
And you know why? Because this wasn't going to happen, right? Like, the only way this fight went away is some freak accident, right? Because if either of these guys, as I said, was even 65 or 70% going in, Kenny, they were going to make the weight and they weren't going to pull out of the fight, right? And maybe even if their cardio was compromised and they didn't make weight, right, they would still end up figuring out a way. The belt would be on the line for one guy. Instead, we get this freak injury. I mean, is Ferguson overtraining, Kenny, right? Is that question fair to be asked?
Right.
I mean, it's a non-contact injury. We see them all the time in other sports, in basketball, in American football. But, you know, maybe this injury would have happened in the fight, right? Maybe this injury would have happened in the fight.
I don't like seeing him kick steel poles to get ready for a fight, I'll tell you that.
Right,
like, that's not going to help the knees, Tony. Don't kick any more steel poles, please. Okay? It's not going to make you any tougher. We get it. You're a tough guy. But, you know, this is devastating, man. How about this? We haven't really talked about the fact that Tony was the interim champ, correct?
Yep.
So now, again, he was the interim champ, so it's not as much of a big deal. But not only does he not get a chance to fight Khabib, he gets his belt stripped as well. He's not going to be the champ anymore after
right.
this fight.
Cruel.
It's
cruel
terrible.
World.
Oh, my God. It's brutal, man. I don't get it. This fight is absolutely cursed, and I totally get Dana. I totally get Sean Shelby and all those guys who are just like, I'm done. Not doing this fight anymore.
Yeah, man. No, I try to be optimistic, right? But I think if you're exclusively a mixed martial arts fan and you're not a fan of these other sports, this has got to be a really hard pill to swallow here.
Yeah.
Because I tried all morning to find a parallel in other sports, and certainly in golf and tennis and wrestling and individual sports, if the athlete gets hurt, the tournament is over, right? Or the season is over. But, like, how about the Boston Celtics right now in the NBA? So their two best players are hurt, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward likely out for the season. As such, no one is giving them a chance to win the NBA championship, but it's not as though they're canceling the playoff games, and they still have a chance, and they will probably still win a playoff series. Look what the Philadelphia Eagles did, right? They just won a Super Bowl without their franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz. So
True. It's
hard for me to find a point of comparison. And, you know, this to me, it doesn't feel nearly as bad to me, Kenny, as like the Patriots losing a Super Bowl. But this is a real shitty feeling. Like, my wife's like, you need to get a hold of yourself last night, because I was very much in a funereal way. And I don't know, man, this is hard. I feel for the fans. I really do. We move on. I'm doing new voiceovers this morning for the big show. But this is hard for fans, man. I feel for you.
Dude, I envisioned you like in front of the pond, kind of like chucking rocks, just questioning your whole life, skipping rocks across the pond, listening to like classical music, questioning everything. I don't get it, man. Yeah, and the UFC has to go through a lot as well. That's the thing that people don't realize is that now production-wise, all the video, all the interviews, all the things they got to do last minute to change everything, the poster. I mean, It's crazy. I feel for those guys as well, man. This is never a good thing for anybody. But the UFC, they're used to this. This is a more than a contact sport, right? This is a very, very tough sport on your body. This was a freak accident that happened to Tony. So they're used to this by now. They're used to it. They know how to roll with the punches, no pun intended. And here we are, man. Just a few days from now, it's going to be Max Holloway and Khabib, and not Khabib and Tony.
Absolutely mind-numbing, and I will always go back to UFC 213 when Amanda Nunes fell out of the main event on the day of, right? So
yeah.
Production, you mentioned, were conditioned to it. Now there's a full week to rebuild all of that stuff, but just to give you a little insight, I'm voicing Glendale, Arizona combo features this morning, right? So this stuff, to your point, does happen very far in advance, and this is a tough one, man. How about the tweet from MMA referee Mark Goddard? MMA, you cruel, cruel mistress. Got a feel for both Ferguson and Khabib. No doubt invested their heart and soul to this point. Unrelenting appreciation for Max Holloway. Is there any other sport, though, no less combat, that something of this magnitude could be saved with just days to go? So if we close it out on that, Kenny, that positively we have the featherweight champion with his double-digit winning streak in tow, leaving Hawaii last night and stepping up to save this pay-per-view. Thankfully, that is a huge part of this story, and hopefully that's what people continue to talk about and focus on as we get ready for 223 here Saturday night.
I just realized that's a tough flight, huh? Going Hawaii to Brooklyn?
Not easy, man, to the East Coast.
Jeez. Oh, man. That's another Max, you're a stud. Plain and simple. Real deal.
All right, well, now with us on the guest line, a man who's already busy week, may have gotten a touch more hectic. Nutritionist to the stars, power athlete, nutrition coach Tyler Minton is with us. Tyler, crazy 24 hours, man. It's good to see you appear to be holding up all right. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, it's been pretty unreal. It was already going to be a extremely hectic week. You know, I work with George Lockhart, and we had seven people on this card as it was. You know, so we had a full week ahead of us, and then, you know, you get the call that not only is your main event's opponent out, but your main event is being replaced with someone else who you guys work with and someone who was not prepared to come in and be ready, but we got to get him ready. So it's this sport's savage. I love it.
Oh,
it's unpredictable, but man, what a this is a journalist's dream. Nutritionist's I don't want to say nightmare. It's a dream for us too. Me and George were discussing it last night. It's really kind of awesome, but it's been nuts.
Well, he couldn't have a better team trying to attack this weight cut and everything that goes with the challenges over the next 5 or 6 days. You are a pro fighter yourself with a 6-1 record. So how best, if you're Max Holloway, and we'll get to Khabib Nurmagomedov, but how best to attack the 5 days that he has here on the clock, which of course is ticking as we speak?
Yeah, so when he called, you know, he spoke with me and George. We both immediately started making some, you know, some arrangements for him to, you know, to make the weight, whether or not the fight happened or not. I mean, the second we even heard about it, there were things that needed to happen. We, you know, we had him change his water up. We had him change his diet up a little bit just to immediately start, you know, kind of getting that water down, flushing out some inflammation. So we immediately started attacking that, and then we literally crunched numbers. I had all the numbers from Max's last weight cut. We track everything. I mean, we're food dudes, but we approach this with science, and that's why we've stood the test of time with all these athletes. We don't just, you know, there's no bro science here. There's a lot of numbers, facts, and figures. We got together, we put those together, we compared it to Max's last two weight cuts with where he's got to be on this weight cut. And we found that it is a possible feat. And once we were determined that it was possible, you know, we said, yeah, we'll do it. We can make it happen. And, you know, Max caught a flight.
So Tyler, was that a part of the decision process on Max's part, was checking with you first to see if that weight cut was possible?
Absolutely. I mean, Max is a dream client. I mean, he really is. You know, and we'll get to Khabib. He is as well. So I want to give fair, you know, unbiased
right.
opinion on both. But Max will do anything, man. This kid, the first thing he did was reach out to us, and he wanted to make sure it was even possible. He wanted to make sure it was something that he could do healthy, and he didn't trust you know, anyone else. Like he talked to, you know, he talked to us and his manager talked to us and Brian Butler. And they just wanted to make 100% sure it was something that we could have in control before he even accepted it.
Tyler, can you give us any insight as to like what his mentality was or kind of what he was talking about when he was telling you about this crazy news?
I'll tell you one thing about Max Holloway, and I don't, you know, I've been with him his last two camps. You know, unfortunately, the last one had a little bit of an issue with the ankle, and we didn't get to finish it. But one thing I learned, man, Hawaiians are a different breed of human. They are relentless. It blows my mind how, you know, just they're warriors, man. And all that really was going through his head, and you know, I think he would be comfortable with me saying this, so I'll say it. Max Holloway thinks Khabib Nurmagomedov is the best fighter in the world, and that is enough for Max Holloway to want to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Wow. Now, have you been around Khabib's camp as well? Have you seen him train? Have you seen him work out?
Yeah. So his last camp, I was there for weeks because I had him in D.C. at the same time. I had Khabib in D.C. for the first 3 weeks, then D.C. for the last 3 weeks alone. And I always train with the guys. I love to train. You know, it's a blast for me. And I get to know a little bit about them. You know, it's one thing to imagine what their energy levels are, but it's another thing if you feel the difference in their energy levels. And, you know, as a fighter, and that's, you know, that's where me and George have an advantage, I think, over, you know, people who in the past, we, you know, were competitors or whatever in this sport. We felt it, you know, we know what this feels like. We know what the fighters need. So, yeah, I always want to roll with them. And, you know, another story I feel comfortable saying, Daniel Cormier had told me, he's like, Khabib Nurmagomedov is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And when Daniel Cormier, who is, I mean, arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, right, saying this, you're curious. So I went and I wanted to roll with Khabib so bad. You know, I was a wrestler, I was a fighter, and I was, you know, grappling was my thing. And it was probably the most embarrassing 5 minutes of my entire life.
That's, believe it,
man.
I used to think the bear thing was like, yeah, that's a little fat. Nah, man, I'm a bear hunter. Like, I hunt bears in Tennessee. Yeah. I'm a redneck. And I would firmly take Khabib Nurmagomedov with me bear hunting and think he could take one down. It's absolutely ridiculous. It is ridiculous what this kid is like when he gets his hands on someone.
How would you compare them as fighters? You've been around them, been around their training camps. What are there some differences and some similarities in their games and their approaches?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is it's the dream MMA mashup. You have the guy who's, you know, a little leans towards striking, but is also a grappler. You know, Max obviously trains grappling. He knows how to grapple. You know, you don't become a champion in this sport if you suck at anything, really. You know, but Max is very much a more skilled striker than he is a grappler, or at least he uses his striking. That's what he's known as. The guy picks guys apart and laughs and, you know, claps while he's doing it. Khabib is one of the best wrestlers in the world, you know. So, you know, not that Khabib doesn't know how to strike. You know, he displayed some really good striking in his last fight and really outstruck Barbosa. You know, his strikes were landing, man. It was beautiful. But Khabib is obviously more geared towards grappling. So you have, you know, the true mixed martial artist dream here in a better grappler versus a better striker. And let's see who's average beats the other. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both just absolutely tenacious. Their work ethic's insane. Neither of them fight with hate or animosity. They love to fight. So it's really cool. It's weird, and, you know, it's tough to be with both men because I care about them both so much. They're, you know, I'd consider them both extremely close friends. They're great people, two of the best people I've met, not even in the sport, just in life in general. So it's, you know, it's really a dream matchup, in my opinion, for everyone who's watching.
Tyler Minton with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. Tremendous insight you're providing into both sides of this equation. I'd imagine, though, you had to think at some point, and maybe it's already happened in the UFC, given how many athletes you guys are working with, that it was only a matter of time before you were going head-to-head in a high-profile situation like we've got this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and we've done it before. You know, we've had, like, James Vick and Joe Duffy fought each other.
Right.
You know, and it was weird. I was with both guys, and I, you know, they both said the kind of the same thing. They're like, well, you know, I want to fight the best Joe Duffy, or I want to fight the best James Vick. And if you can get them in there as their absolute best, then that's what we want. These guys are the exact same. You know, that's, again, that's kind of what makes our company. We have a team. You know, we got several individuals here. We're growing our team. You know, a lot of new guys who are training with us this week, and it's the perfect week for them to do so.
Yeah.
You know, and they came in on a good week. But it's that's one thing that makes us what we do. You know, we're professional. We'll work with anyone because we're here to do a job, and that job's not only to help them make weight, but to help them to perform at the best, you know, at their highest possible level. And our relationship with the fighters has nothing to do with that. Our job is to get them in there, and we can do that. And once we do that, the best man will win. You know, my job's to get Khabib on weight and help him perform at his best. Khabib's job's to get in there and fight. You know, our job's the same thing with Max Holloway, and we'll give them both equal treatment. We'll give them both a job and, you know, our best job, and we'll let them handle what they're supposed to handle.
I'm sensing a monthly segment, the Melee Minute for Tyler's Get Ray great, Longo man. Here on the Anakin Florian Podcast. Tyler, I appreciate your time. I'll leave you with this. Khabib Nurmagomedov, at least to the untrained eye, seemed to master everything about this weight management process prior to the Edson Barboza fight. I don't know how far you guys go back, but is that fair to say that ahead of that Barboza fight, Khabib did everything right, and it is your expectation that that's exactly what we'll see here again during this fight week?
Yeah, you know, I worked with him for that fight. You know, that was my first time working with him, and man, he showed up. You know, I got a lot of notoriety from it because people saw me on the scale, or, you know, at the scale with Khabib, and you know, people saw me with him all week. But the fact is, man, if you give us an unprepared, unprofessional, client who's just not doing their job, we can't do our job. Khabib Nurmagomedov came to me already prepared. He came to us with a whole new attitude. He was doing everything he could. He was doing everything right when we met up. So it made my job extremely easy. He approached the way he should. So, you know, we're here to make it the absolute best. But, yeah, you're 100% right. Khabib Nurmagomedov, you know, did the work. He did everything he could. And you know, this camp's the same way. He showed up with no doubt in my mind it's going to be an insanely easy weight cut. You know, so we got a good we'll have a good outcome.
Well, I wish you all the best, man, for what is going to be a crazy week for you. I know on Twitter you can find Tyler Minton at the Melee Way, M-E-L-E-E. Tyler, man, all the best. Look forward to seeing you at the weigh-in on Friday morning, and hopefully we can catch up with you after the fight because I think this one is going to be one you look back on pretty fondly, no matter how it goes. So thank you for breaking off a few minutes, bub. We'll see you later this week.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Good luck, Tyler.
All right, there is Tyler Minton on the Anakin Florian Podcast. And interesting, Kenny, to hear him talk about Max Holloway making weight as a possible feat, right?
Right.
Make no mistake about it, right? Ken Flo, 2-0 against the UFC featherweight limit, and you consider both of those professional wins, I would think, just making the goddamn weight.
Exactly, man. First of all, awesome get in Tyler Minton, man. He was awesome. A lot of great insight,
man,
as you mentioned. So very cool that you had him on the show. I mean, again, Max Holloway is not the smallest featherweight. He's huge. He gets
huge.
Very, very big, man. He gets up into the 180s. I'm telling you, he's
that
big. So for him to make 145 is quite a feat every single time out. For him to make 155, I think it's going to be – it's not going to be easy. It really isn't. Khabib might even be lighter than him at this point, at this stage of the game. So I wouldn't be surprised. So that's a good thing. It's also a bad thing, right? Because we want to see Max Holloway at his full potential. Obviously, given the circumstances, we're not going to be able to see that. However, the good thing is he's not going to be that much smaller than Khabib, hopefully. On fight night. So he is a 145-pounder, but he's not just a regular 145-pounder. He's the champ with a tremendous amount of skill and will and experience, and he's also not going to be that much undersized.
And you're right. I think as we sit here on Monday, there's no doubt in my mind that Khabib Nurmagomedov right now in this very moment weighs less than Max Holloway. And for the fans all over me when I'm tweeting about 178 pounds, like if you think Max Holloway is walking around at 168, 170 pounds, you're fooling yourself. I'm not going to get into the numbers. I wasn't going to put Tyler on the spot and ask what his weight was when the call came in. But if you think he's sitting there 160, 165, you know, simple weight cut, Max is going to stare hell in the face this week, and the Hawaiian Warrior is going to power right through it. And again, despite this Ferguson-Nurmagomedov matchup just being cursed, UFC is certainly blessed with Max Holloway, and we'll see what he can do with the opportunity against Khabib Nurmagomedov. All right, so coming up now, you're going to hear some content that was taped last Thursday when, of course, the fight between Ferguson and Khabib was still on. We have edited out all of the irrelevant stuff, so we appreciate the extra hours out of our great producers. But coming up, you're getting all of Kenny's picks on UFC 223, save for the new main event. We'll talk to UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier to get another insight into the pulse of Khabib Nurmagomedov. Update on Ally Aquinta in the Ray Longo Minute. Also, director-producer Bobby Razek. His film Mask is out on April 3rd. So as promised, here, the rest of episode number 150 of the Anakin Florian Podcast. Enjoy. Thoughts from you on Ronda Rousey, if I could. I know you talked about it on UFC Tonight last week after she went through that ESPN car wash. She had a couple of moments in which she got irritated, annoyed with a couple of the hosts and their line of questioning or the way they delivered those questions. You know, I don't watch UFC Tonight, so for those that didn't see it, I'm just kidding. I love that show. But what was your thesis statement on these appearances for Ronda? I mean, did they make you take a hard stand there on FS1 or what?
Well, you know, no, they don't make me really do anything. But, you know, it was something to talk about because I felt like for Ronda, you could see that she's still very much hurt by the fact that she lost. I mean, we all remember her doing an interview for one of her upcoming UFC fights, and she was still upset and crying about her loss in the Olympics, you know? So she obviously has an amazing pride that she brings in with her every time she competes. I think that's what makes her such a special athlete. But also, you know, I think that it inhibits her a little bit. I think, you know, having that chip on her shoulder, you could see she's still very upset about it. She also feels like, you know, maybe she held on and fought for a little bit too long. She felt the pressure of maybe carrying the UFC organization. It was primarily on the shoulders of Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey, so I definitely get that. At the end of the day, I think she needs to just look at the positive. There's a lot of negativity around her. You know, she was very confident. Obviously, she was talking a little bit of trash. She got in the face of Holly Holm and, you know, was obviously ramped up for that fight against Amanda Nunes as well and put a lot into those, especially that last fight with Nunes and trying to come back. And I think a lot of people were just very cruel, like people are on the internet. They love seeing you fail. But at the end of the day, you know, it's way more important to be positive in those kind of instances. And it's hard, right? I mean, I can't imagine. She's been on every magazine cover. She's been on all the big TV shows. And everyone's going to chime in and throw negativity her way. But I think she's still carrying that. She's still trying to get rid of that. Right. And with her kind of pride, I think it's tough. It is tough. And it's almost like she wasn't even listening to the question. She heard the word loss.
Or MMA.
And,
right.
Right. Or MMA. And she just like, she turned off. She wasn't even there. She didn't want to listen to it.
So before the Holly Holm fight, we talked about Ronda Rousey eventually fighting Chris Cyborg. And I said on this show a million times, I thought that fight would happen because I felt like Ronda didn't want to be feet up in retirement, you know, her dream house in the woods, thinking about what if. Or hearing people at the grocery store say, why didn't you fight Chris Cyborg? So then the narrative changed profoundly. She got knocked out by Holly Holm and then Amanda Nunes. And even now, as you saw, if you caught any of the footage last week, she doesn't want to field questions about her MMA career. I thought the questions that were asked were fair. You're supposed to ask questions that people want the answers to as a journalist. So I don't fault those guys for asking those questions. I guess the only thing I'll say is that you really do have to prepare for the subjects that you are going to interview. And I think you have to know going in, producers certainly know, that when you ask Ronda Rousey about mixed martial arts and you don't pose it carefully or in an effective way, you're going to get stonewalled or you're not going to get a thoughtful answer. Yeah. Now, if the goal is sensational journalism to try to set her off, then maybe the goal was accomplished. But if the goal is to get a thoughtful response, I can assure you if Ronda Rousey was on this podcast, we would be asking her about MMA, but we would try to do it in a way, you know, that would elicit something positive. So a lot of sort of negativity, but big picture to me, it seems like even when she gets to that house in the woods, Kenny, and gets her wish to disappear for a while, I'm just not sure that she's ever going to be totally over these things. And maybe she can get there one day, but at least clearly I don't think she is there right now. You know?
No, absolutely. And I think you nailed it right there. I mean, you can try to run away from your problems. You can try to get away from the media and all those things. And I think that helps things, obviously, you know, getting your picture taken wherever you go and having to do interviews, you know, left and right. It's certainly annoying. But what it comes down to it is she needs to be happy with what she's accomplished, which is something that very few people on this planet will ever accomplish. Okay, she was a five-time defending world champion. She's a bronze medalist in the Olympics. She's competed at the highest level of two different sports. She was the face of this sport. She needs to spin it positively, and I think when she's able to move past that and maybe just get rid of some of the anger and the animosity that she has, which is probably carried over from a lot of the fans, which also love her. She just needs to move past that. And no matter where she is, no matter how isolated she is, she's still going to have to deal with that, whatever is inside.
Yeah. Well, we both really like her and her team. And nice to see her smiling and doing what she loves. And as she said, when she's done with the WWE, she'll step away into the woods and hopefully be heard from at least here and there.
Definitely.
Now with us on the guest line, the fourth time we called him. This is a man who exactly 100 days from today, I don't even know if he knows that, but DC, 100 days from today, you try to become the second simultaneous UFC two division champion, the Hall of Famer to be. Daniel Cormier is with us. How you doing, man?
Thanks. I'm good, man. How about you guys?
You're 100 days out, man. Does that sound like a long time to you?
It still feels like a while. I mean, you know, as you start getting closer, you start really buckling down, and then it starts to feel, you know, more like reality. We're still kind of in that phase right now where it's like, I know I have this really, really big thing coming up, but I don't feel the stress of it and everything just quite yet.
UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. We were actually talking on the show last week about what the pay-per-view price point would be to see you and Khabib just in a wrestling match. And we think we could do a pretty good number, to be honest with you. So you're traveling to Brooklyn to show your support, but I guess those expecting to hear you scream Thug Rose this weekend are going to have to wait at least until her next fight, yes?
Yes, there's no I couldn't call the fight. I'm very open with the fact that I'm not sure I could be unbiased. You know, when those guys fight, Khabib, Velasquez, Rockhold, I know that I would have a tough time just calling the action right down the middle, and I don't want to do that and put not only myself but the fans in a situation where they're not hearing the fights called as they should be.
All right, a couple quick ones on the way out, and we do appreciate 5 minutes today with the champ. So when you weigh in on the morning of July 6th, what will you weigh, and are you going to make us wait until 11 a.m. just because you can as a heavyweight, or are you going to come on early?
You know, I think as a heavyweight, you're not in that rush to just rush down and go jump on the scale. I don't know, but I know I'll be between 230 and 235. At the heaviest, you know, but you never know how the weight comes down when I start training, you know.
Right.
Those early plunges usually come off pretty good.
Anik, don't believe a word this guy said. He'll be between 250 and 265. He was stealing my sandwiches yesterday, knocked the cookie out of my hand. Unbelievable, this guy. No respect.
Anik, yesterday Florian had a cookie right as he hey, and you know Florian is not your normal guy. You know, he's very bourgeois, as they like to say. So he eats his cookie with his pinky finger up in the air right as he started to
put that cookie up in his mouth.
I slapped it out of his hand, and I ate that cookie. I ain't gotta make
He's a bully in the avocado room, I tell you. Hey, no food is safe.
Kenny's like, don't bring me any cookies. I want scones with my coffee.
Yeah, scones. And it's
tea
on
and
the
crumpets.
Tea or espresso, too.
Oh, man.
Yes,
New York Stock Exchange opening bell on Friday. Daniel Cormier's ringing it, so hopefully you bring our stocks some good luck, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting, man. You know, I was lucky enough to do the closing bell before the Olympics in 2008, so –
Oh, wow.
Be able to go and open the stock exchange on Friday. So that's a big deal, man. Big, exciting thing to do and an unbelievable experience, you know. So I'm excited about that, too.
That's awesome.
Almost as big a deal as the Talk and Talker podcast starring Daniel Cormier, which you can catch on iTunes and all the places you and Jess podcast. All right, next time we hear you on the Fox Sticks is when? Glendale, Arizona?
Yep, Glendale, Arizona, man. Poirier versus Gaethje. Unbelievable fight. Big month for the lightweights, and I'm just excited to be calling a part of the action.
All right, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes. We'll see you in Brooklyn.
My man, John Anik. Later, Flo.
DC.
All right, there he is, UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier joining us for a few minutes. The brown envelope is in the mail, DC, so charged us today. What are you going to do? It's going to be interesting to see his fight against Stipe Miocic because so much was made of Conor McGregor's quest to become a two-division champion. And, of course, the Rafael Dos Anjos fight never happened, which is a whole different conversation. But I think eventually, Kenny, once we get a couple of these other pay-per-views in the can, the conversation is going to start turning to D.C. July 7th, 100 days from today, kid.
It is. It is going to be a lot closer than people think. And I think for D.C., this is a guy who knows how to win again. And I think also being around Stipe Miocic, D.C. just finds a way to just be very comfortable. And he pokes and prods, and he finds out about who you are and what you're like and kind of what annoys you, what you laugh at. So DC's a very smart guy. That's the other thing. And I think him being around Stipe is a huge advantage for him. Also, a lot of Stipe's success comes with his wrestling. He's not going to have the advantage when it comes to the wrestling department. He'll have the size advantage. So I'm really fascinated who wins that aspect of the fight. Who's going to be faster? Stipe puts together some beautiful combinations. And at the same time, I think for Stipe, he realizes what an honor it would be if he was able to get a win over someone like Daniel Cormier. So I can't wait for this fight. I can't wait for this season of The Ultimate Fighter to see, just the Stipe and DC dynamic, man. That should be a lot of fun.
No, and I think you're right that DC stands to gain a lot from rubbing shoulders and rubbing elbows with Stipe Miocic over those 6 weeks. I know he's glad taping is done and he can get focused on the training, but that fight's going to come before you know it. UFC 226, July 7th in Las Vegas. All right, let's get to Longo.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in his fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. And Kenny Florian podcast.
See, we got a good lead-in for you today, Ray Longo. You see that UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier leading into the Ray Longo Minute. If we don't lead the show with you, we're trying to at least give you a high-profile guest leading into your segment because I know that's what your agent asked for.
So no, nothing better than following DC.
All right, so here we are. What can you tell us about raging Ally Aquinta? Ready to go on point? Is he raging? What is the 411 on Raging Al?
He's looking good, man. We had our last sparring session today. Very good. Right now, it's just sticking with the game plan and keeping him healthy, as it is with everybody at this point. But really great, great sparring today. Very, very it was just good. Very, very busy, and he looks like he's on point, and I'm happy for him.
It's amazing when you go back and look at what Ally Aquinta has accomplished on paper. He's won 8 of his last 9 in the UFC. Do you know right now whether or not he is the betting favorite against Paul Felder this weekend?
I think somebody might have told me he was a slight favorite. That's what I understand.
Slight betting favorite. See, you're listening, man. I like that.
Like,
but
you
don't
would
you
know,
think
though.
That
you
speaks
would,
to...
You would know because you're a compulsive gambler. So you tell me.
I think compulsive is probably a better word than degenerate. I had to Google degenerate. I guess it's probably not always the word I'm looking for. I think compulsive, obsessive. But don't you think, though, Ray, in all seriousness, that betting line, it speaks to me in some parts of the body of work because he's favored to beat a guy who has 3 straight wins by knockout, who has been more active over the last 18 months. But Vegas usually knows, and you're the guy who they've installed as the favorite, and he's held there over the last 2 months.
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, I'm surprised because of the activity of it. But, it's a great fight on paper for Al, I think, for both guys, really. I really can't see this being a bad fight. And I think, I don't know what they're thinking, but I think it's probably I would have thought it was going to be even. I thought maybe even Felder might be the favorite because of the activity. But
right.
Either way, man, it's a good fight, you know.
Very interesting stuff there from Ray Longo. And last thing, I know you don't love everything about modern day mixed martial arts in terms of the way the sport is going, at least when it comes to certain conversations. I bring it up in the context of Ally Aquinta's post-fight interview this weekend. Obviously, he's had some memorable ones that have really, I think, endeared him to the fans. I mean, I know we laugh off the, you know, are you booing me? Fuck you. But I think it endeared him to a lot of people. It swelled his fan base without question. This is a massive night for the lightweights. Will you and Matt Serra have a single conversation about a call-out or anything if he goes out and starches Paul Felder in the first round? Or is that just the furthest thing from your mind right now?
That's the furthest thing from my mind right now, to be honest with you. But yeah. To why do people love him? I think, you know, there's guys that sell fights and there's guys that obviously put on an act to try to get in there. I think what the people love about Ally Aquinta is it's genuine. It's heartfelt.
Right.
You know, it's off the cuff. And it's I think they like the genuineness of it. And the guy does go out and fight. You know what I mean? He's... You know, even in that fight, man, he got dropped in the first round and he came back against a really, really talented Jorge Masvidal. I mean, that is no joke. And, you know, whether he won or lost that fight, man, he was pushing forward and he wasn't going anywhere. And I think that's what people love about him. He's a genuine guy. He's not looking to sell shit. That's not an act. It's right. Who he is. And that's what he felt. You know what I mean? And I did have a conversation with him in Virginia right after that.
Yeah.
For sure, while we were walking back. But no, I don't think so. But now that you bring it up, maybe we will. But
yeah.
I definitely was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm really he's very excited about this fight, and I really just want him to win the fight. And I think just to perform as the maximum capacity can. Have fun, go out there and just, you know, do what he does in sparring and just have a blast, you know. And, you know, put on a good show for the fans. I think that's what it's coming down to.
Yeah, Ally Aquinta's only selling houses, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we wish you all the best. We wish Al all the best. I look forward to seeing you later this week in Brooklyn. And if you're in need of a last-minute podcast guest or something, you know, I'd be happy to make an appearance. I know your podcast is blowing up.
So he wants ratings, Anik. He wants ratings. He doesn't want to go
yeah, right.
down.
When
he wants up.
When are you coming into New York?
I'm just looking for a guest spot so I can promote the Florian and Anik podcast. That's what I'm
looking for. Exactly.
Hey, you know what, man? There's room for everybody. That's good. That's good.
I get in Thursday, and maybe we can hit some pads Friday morning. You got nothing going on, so.
I'll be giving out that pre-fight speech about don't attack Anik on the microphone.
Yeah. Well, he's getting Joe Rogan this weekend, so.
Oh, he's getting Rogan? No, Rogan. Joe will probably egg him on, I'm supposed
yeah.
to.
Hey,
right,
Anik do that weight cut with Ally Aquinta too when he's out there too, right?
Yeah,
put him through
yeah,
that.
I'll cut weight with Al. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now Al doesn't have he has a good weight cut, Al. He's not one of those guys good. That you struggle with, so that's all good.
Awesome.
All right, man. Keep smiling. Have a good fight week. We will see you in a few days, all right?
Awesome, guys. Take care.
All right, see there right. he is. Raymond Bye. Peter Longo, the Ray Longo Minute every week here on the Anik and Florian podcast. Well, UFC fighters are tough, but you know what else is tough? Toyo tires. That's why Toyo has been a proud sponsor of the UFC. Just like the UFC fighters, Toyo tires are built for battle. It's an all-or-nothing philosophy. Durability, aggressive design, on- and off-road capabilities, yes to all of them. Living life on the highway, Toyo has you covered. Spending some serious time off-road, they have a tire for that too. No matter what you drive, Toyo has what you need, and frankly, these tires just look cool too. Any vehicle, every terrain, all-or-nothing Toyo tires. So the next time you need tires, ask for Toyo. To experience more, visit toyotires.com/UFC, toyotires.com/UFC. All right, time to make some picks, UFC 223 style. Let's go.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fight! I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
All right, joining us to make picks today, we don't update the standings because the first time in 3 years of this show, the host fell asleep at the wheel and he doesn't have the standings in front of him. So we are right to the guest line out of Staten Island, New York. Short hop over the bridge. He'll be inside Barclays Center in Brooklyn Saturday night. Dallas Singer is with us. Dallas, welcome, man. Thanks for the time today, man. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate you.
Wow, you got nicer hair. You got better hair than Kenny Florian.
He does.
So,
dang.
So, Dallas, I'm told you're a longtime listener to the podcast and a big-time Kenny Florian fan, too. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's 100% accurate. I've been a big fan of Kenny. Kenny finishes fights, but I finish fight picks.
You just put him on the spot. What is he going to say? No, I'm not a Kenny Florian fan. That guy's a dick.
No, I've been watching some top one, Kenny.
Ah, thank you, my man. I appreciate it.
See, one time, though, we'll have someone on, and they'll say, you know, hey, man, I wasn't the biggest fan of Ken Flo.
Exactly.
You know?
I would love that.
Right?
Nah, not really. I mean, not my cup of tea. Yeah.
Just like when your wife gets pregnant and it's like the third kid and you're 40, you want someone to give you their condolences maybe instead of their congratulations. Yes. All right, we got a lot of picks today, so I'm going to stop wasting time. So not three picks today, not five, not seven, not nine. 10 picks apiece, 5 on the main card, 5 prelim quick picks. Start first fight out of the shoot on pay-per-view. We talked about it with Ray Longo. Ally Aquinta right now, the minus 135 favorite. Paul Felder, slight underdog, plus 105. Felder, as many of you know, has won 3 straight, all by knockout, 5 of 6 overall. Aquinta has won his last 5. Dallas, who do you like here? Close fight, at least on paper, Ally Aquinta or Paul Felder?
Well, both these guys are great strikers with knockout power. I've been looking forward to this matchup since they first tried to book it at 218. To me, Felder has more weapons that he can utilize in the striking department. I love all the guys coming out of Cerro Longo, but I'm going with the dog, Felder. Longo, he might have me thrown out of New York.
I know. I mean, not standing by your fellow New Yorkers. Maybe you'll be rooting for Aquinta, but hopefully you're rooting with your pick. It is Felder at plus 105. Kenny, obviously, if I was giving you $100 to go to the betting window, it's a little bit different than in our scoring system. You do get 2 points for Felder, just 1 for Ally Aquinta. I don't know if that sways you. How do you see this fight playing out?
This is a tough one. I really love both these guys. I think Ally Aquinta probably punches harder. I think he's a guy that if he goes forward is really going to pose a lot of problems for Felder. Felder has more weapons, though, in my mind. And what really concerns me is that knee injury of Ally Aquinta. He's been dealing with it. It's one of those things I feel like that, I don't know, it could go at any time. And Felder, with those leg kicks and the way he likes to crush that lead leg, I don't know. I think I got to give the advantage there to Felder. I'm a little worried about the health of Ally Aquinta. Both these guys can win this fight. It's a close one, but I'm gonna give the nod to Felder here.
All right, also at 155 pounds on the main card, boys, Ultimate Fighter Live winner Michael Chiesa returning here. He's the minus 135 favorite against Anthony Showtime Pettis. Pettis, plus 105 right now. So I think at times Pettis has been favored depending on where you look, but at least for our purposes, we will proceed with Chiesa as the favorite. Dallas, which way you going, Michael Chiesa or Anthony Showtime Pettis?
To me, this is sort of the standard grappler of a striker matchup. I mean, Showtime has improved wrestling thanks to Izzy's style, and he could keep the fight standing. Even if it's very hard to submit him, I think he'll be able to get back to his feet. And I'm just not convinced that the Showtime magic is gone. I'm going with Pettis for the win to get back inside the top 10 at lightweight.
All right, Pettis at plus 105 for Dallas. So, Kenny, Chiesa's been out since that fight in Oklahoma City, the main event against Kevin Lee. That was all the way back in June of last year. Pettis has dropped 2 of 3, the last of which the main event to Dustin Poirier in November. Another close fight here at 155, Flo. Who do you like?
And this one concerns me and might be concerning for the Pettis camp here because Chiesa is a grinder. And Pettis has had trouble with guys that try to wrestle him and try to grind him down. But I do think that Pettis has improved his wrestling. I do think he has a huge advantage on the feet against Chiesa. Chiesa is very tall, though. But I think with Chiesa coming out, and this, he's a southpaw, right?
Yes.
So I think that is going to be trouble for him. I think Pettis does very well against other southpaws. So I'm going to go with Showtime here.
All right, Showtime Pettis for Ken Flo as well. Every time Michael Chiesa fights, I have to read what is my all-time favorite tweet from Jeff Gallo, May 23rd, 2014, from UFC 173. Michael Chiesa looks like he's been living on a bus in Alaska eating poisonous plants.
That is a reference to McCandless, I think, in that book.
Into the Wild?
Into the Wild, yes. Yeah,
the hashtags, Into the Wild,
that's
Big
funny.
Hard Sun. So
that's
I didn't even
funny.
Know the reference, right?
Yes.
But he does at times look like he has been living on a bus eating poisonous plants, but he's cleaned up his act a little bit, so doesn't look like he's been eating poison anymore. All right, featured bout guys on the main card here at featherweight. Boston's Calvin Kattar, Brazil's Renato Moicano. Kattar right now minus 155, comeback on Moicano at plus 125. Kattar, a win over Shane Burgos earlier this year in his native Massachusetts, his 10th in a row. He is 18-2, 2-0 in the UFC. Moicano, 11-1-1, Dallas, lone professional loss to Brian T. City Ortega. Dallas, who's it going to be here, Moicano or Kattar?
You know, I see Moicano trying to keep this fight at range with some leg kicks, body kicks. But Kattar's much more technical. He really impressed me with that third-round finish of Shane Burgos. I'm going to go with the favorite this time, picking Calvin Kattar.
Calvin Kattar, the pick to click for Dallas. Kenny, for me, it's still kind of hard to quantify how high the ceiling is for Calvin Kattar because he just has this bulk of regional experience. Mm-hmm. So far, so good in the big show, but I would think his toughest test to date here against the Brazilian.
Well, Dallas needs to stop having these great picks here because I'm going to go with Calvin Kattar as well. he impressed the hell out of me against Burgos. Burgos is a tough out for anybody. Tall for the division, tricky and slick fighter, a guy who really knows how to stay composed. And Kattar, I think, is really coming into his own, man. I think that win over Burgos gave him even more confidence. I see him taking Moicano out on the feet.
All right, Calvin Kattar for both of you at minus 155. That brings us to the co-main event for the UFC Strawweight Championship. This was the fight I was most looking forward to getting Ken Flo's selection on. Rose Namajunas, first defense. She will make it as a slight underdog, plus 110. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, minus 140. She is favored to win her belt back. We have talked at length about this fight. As has the former champion, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, about her weight-cutting issues. She has employed the likes of George Lockhart and Daniel Leith. She is at 122.5 pounds, 10 or 11 days out. All good signs. The question is Dallas. Who leaves Brooklyn as the UFC's strawweight champion?
You know, I'm really pumped for this rematch. I know Joanna is saying her weight cut had a lot to do with the loss, but I think that Rose really mastered that Trevor Whitman striking system, and bad weight cut or not, I think Lightning's going to strike twice. Doug Rose will win by knockout again, this time in the second round. And I know DC is not on the broadcast, so it leaves it up to you, John, to the Doug Rose champ.
I'll see what I can do. I will see what I can do. Rose Namajunas, round two TKO for Dallas. Ken Flo, the rematch here. They fought for the first time in November. They do it again here in a few short days. Which side you on?
Man, my heart breaks here for this one. As I really like both these girls. Rose Namajunas especially, just as nice and as sweet as a person as they come. Listen, I think we will end up seeing a trilogy fight between these women. I do think Joanna Jędrzejczyk will win this fight. I think it's going to be a close one. I think she wins by decision. Something just wasn't right in Joanna, and that doesn't mean Namajunas can't beat her again. I think Namajunas absolutely has the skills to beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk, either on the feet or on the ground. Namajunas certainly has the advantage on the mat. She's much better with her submissions there. I think for Joanna Jędrzejczyk, though, a couple things. She didn't have the best weight cut in that fight, and she very much is that kind of fighter that once she gets into her rhythm, she just starts to pull away from you. She never was able to get into her rhythm. Rose Namajunas' pressure was the main cause for that, but also she just was not moving with the same speed. She wasn't throwing the same combinations. Her head didn't seem right heading into this one. I think Joanna gets the win by decision here, as much as that breaks my heart here.
And I've said I'm just looking forward to 25 minutes potentially in a championship fight because I think it would be wildly entertaining. And, we'll see. I thought most telling from our conversation with Mike Brown last week was when he was talking about Joanna Jędrzejczyk. He said most fighters wouldn't have even made weight. And when you talk about the percentage of her body weight.
16 pounds in a day, dude. That was more than what I did at 145, I think.
It's nuts, the percentage of her body weight. We'll see. Rose Namajunas trying to make it two straight over the former strawweight queen. Now some quick picks here. So no analysis needed. Certainly feel free to give your two cents if you've got something or if you're particularly strong on one side or you feel convicted, by all means, Dallas. But otherwise, we just want winners here. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, minus 185. Felice Herrig, plus 150. Herrig has won four in a row. Never been closer to a title shot than she is right now. Kowalkiewicz and Felice Herrig, Dallas, who do you like?
Too much high-level experience. I'm going Kowalkiewicz.
Kowalkiewicz for Dallas. Ken Flo, your thoughts.
All right, I got to go the opposite way here. I need one to go the other way than Dallas, so I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Felice here.
And I would think some value there, plus 150. So This one at flyweight, Ray Borg minus 270, Brandon Moreno plus 210. I mean, I love me some Ray Borg, Dallas, but this line seems a bit wide to me. I mean, Moreno can do some things. Who do you like here in this one?
You know, they both scramble a lot, and you're right, he can definitely do some things, but I'm still going with Ray Borg. I feel like he's going to catch him in a submission.
Can Flo Borg, Moreno, which way are you going?
I like both these guys. I really like Moreno, great kid. I just think Borg is a little bit sharper on the mat.
All right, Evan Dunham has not lost since 2014, coming off a draw against Beneil Dariush. He was to face Mirbek Taisumov this weekend. Instead, the relatively short-notice replacement, Olivier Aubame-Mercier, ends up being a bigger fight, I think, according to a lot of people, certainly in Canada. Dunham minus 135, OAM is plus 105. Dallas, who do you like?
I'm going with the dog, OAM.
Ken Flo, you know Aubame-Mercier pretty well, obviously. Yep. Dunham and you were in the UFC at the same time. What do you think here?
You know, this is a tough one. I think OAM has some good takedowns, might have the advantage there. I think Dunham is very seasoned. The question is he too seasoned? Has he been fighting for too long? I think he still has it in him, though. I'm going to go with Evan Dunham here.
All right, and last two quick fellas. Joe Lozon, minus 175. Chris Gritzmacher, plus 145. Dallas.
I'm taking J-Lo, Joe Lozon.
Lozon, Ken Flo, any lean there? Lozon, Gritzmacher?
Yeah, going with Lozon, going with the Boston boy.
All right, and then Alex Caceres, minus 140. Artem Lobov, plus 110. Dallas, make the 10th one count, kid. Who do you like?
I'm taking the underdog, the GOAT, as they call him, the Siberian Express. Choo-choo, I'm taking Artem Lobov to get back.
Oh, yes. The Siberian Express, Artem Lobov, Ken Flo, Lobov, Caceres.
Nice and flowy, Artem. Nice and flowy, Artem. I'm gonna go with Artem Lobov as well. Damn it, Dallas.
How about it?
hey, listen, right. Anik, we're never having Dallas on the show ever again. How's that? He's too good.
Well, no, I think
he's
great
too
minds.
Good, dude.
Great
Come
minds.
On.
Hey, Dallas, thank you, man, for the time and the thought you put into it, man. We will see you in Barclays Center this Saturday night, kid. Appreciate it.
I appreciate the time, guys. Unfortunately, I won't be there, but I'll be watching from home. Thanks, guys.
Great job, Dallas.
All right, Dallas, if you need any tickets, just it's at Kenny Florian on Twitter. He has like a
you
ton
know,
of extras. Okay.
I got no pull anymore, man. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you Anik's number. I'm going to tweet it out. No problem.
I tell you, I don't know if we're sold out. I don't know what the fight's going to do on pay-per-view, but I can tell you that tickets have been hard to come by.
Yeah.
All right, well, support for the Anik and Florian podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Anik, rocketmortgage.com/ANIK, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. All right, now with us on the guest line, writer, director, producer, Bobby Razek, his film Mask, The Life and Times of Charles Mask Lewis, available as of April 3rd on a number of different platforms. Bobby, thank you for joining us today, man. I know your relationship with the late Charles Mask Lewis had a lot of depth to it, man. So this has got to be a project that had its challenges and had some emotions come out of you, I would think, along the way.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, I'm still excited about that Rocket Mortgage. I want to get that mortgage with a touch of a button. I'm still, like, trying to get over that, bro. Press a button and get a mortgage. I'm
Isn't it amazing? It works, too. I've done it. I've been there, man.
I'm ready. It was very hard. Jonathan, took a lot of time. It was really a 7-year process to make this film. I kind of consider myself like, I was kind of thinking this morning, I'm like a commercial drug dealer. Basically, I'll flip my commercials to make this movie. And we'll do another commercial, flip it, do another commercial. And so, yeah, it was a very brutal, long experience.
So the trailer is super powerful as 2 or 3 minutes can be, but I think also chilling. Josh Barnett says of Mask In It, quote, he was one of the true caretakers of MMA at a grassroots level. And I got to think, Bobby, part of the impetus for this project was for this younger generation of fans who just have no idea quite how instrumental this individual was. They see his name on the octagon, but they don't quite understand the depth of the contribution he made early on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like Muhammad Ali said after, I think, Leon Spinks beat him, like, you might be the latest, but I'm the greatest. I mean, you know, in combat sports, it's a very quick turnover. Name, faces, people. I mean, some of the new fans won't even know who Goldberg is now. So it's like, you know, just the way the fans are in combat sports, they move very quickly. So yeah, it would be great to, you know, introduce the fans to who Mask was and kind of give them like, almost like a history lesson, you know. It's been like a great history lesson on who Charles was and the early incubation of the sport, you know.
Well, I've seen the movie, Bobby, and it's amazing. It definitely, that's the thing that really comes across. And, you know, I remember talking to Mask many times, and his charisma and the way he came across being so genuine and so charismatic was something that was very special. Was that part of the reason why you made this movie?
I was actually one of the guys who helped incubate Tap Out. I was the founder of Tap Out Films. I did all their media. I did all their commercials. Yeah, I kind of started with the company. So basically, the goal was to... Well, basically, what happened was, every time I would do a commercial, I'd always film a little bit of Charles. I'd always film a little bit of Charles. And around 6 months prior to him dying, I had a weird feeling that I should kind of interview him more and get more information. So every time I did a commercial, I'd always kind of filter a little bit of Charles. So when he did pass, had this incredible body of work. And so piecing it together was basically just getting that body of work and making a film. So it was always in my heart to do a piece on him, because I did a film called Rites of Passage, like, I think 15 years ago, which was kind of like an early film in a sport. So, yeah, it was something that I felt I had the assets to do.
You know, obviously the sport came a long way, and Mask played a huge part in that and really advancing the sport, getting people to really know about the culture. What do you think Mask would say about the current state of mixed martial arts?
I think about that a lot, Kenny. I mean, so much has changed since Charles died. It's been almost 10 years since Charles passed. It's actually his I think his 9th or 10th year. It was an 11th. So many things have changed. I mean, we have the Fox deal. You can now watch, you know, UFC on a Sunday morning with your coffee. I think he would have liked it. I think he would have liked the fact that, you know, that UFC has become mainstream. When he passed, it was just in that turnover period. We didn't have the Fox deal yet, so you couldn't really see it on, like, any kind of, you know, cable TV or anything. So I think he would have loved that, you know, you don't need to explain to people what MMA was. Kind of like when you was fighting, I think you had to explain probably, you know, what you did.
Yeah. All the time,
Fighter, fighting the cage. Yeah, you probably had that conversation, but, like, now that conversation isn't there. I think he would have loved where MMA is going. And also it was sad he didn't see, like, you know, guys like, you know, Ronda or Conor McGregor. You know, it's, you know, so many things he missed, you know, so it's kind of sad there, but I think he would have loved it.
Bobby Razzik with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. The film Mask can be yours on April 3rd. So it sounded like this was something that was in the back of your mind for a long time. It is 9 years, March of 2018, since his passing back in 2009. So when did you ultimately decide to devote the time and the resources to doing a project on Mask?
Well, I have the largest stock footage in history of historical MMA footage, and I own the trademark History of MMA. So basically, around 2011, I was kind of going through my library, having a look what I have available. And every time I was going to the library, Mask is always popping up. So I met an investor, Shane Teeter. He gave me the initial funding. And so we basically started 2011. When I ran out of money, I'd put it in a burner. And then, you know, I'd flip a commercial, go back to it again, put it back in a burner. So around 2011 is kind of when I incubated Mask and decided to kind of really go forward. So I think like 10, 11, like maybe 2 or 3 years after he died.
So it's hard to get great insight to a film. I would point people to the trailer, and certainly you can access it on Amazon and iTunes come April 3rd. But if your goal going in was to sort of secure his legacy. Is there anything in the film, a little anecdote or otherwise, you could point us to that sort of helps tell his story and helps, at least in your mind, do what you set out to do, secure a legacy that really, I think, needed to be secured in a sport that we all hold pretty dear?
Well, I mean, nothing, Kenny, you saw an older cut of the film. Mm-hmm. So basically, I've expanded on that.
Oh, cut. Cool.
So yeah, so there's like an additional 10 minutes. You know, there's a whole bunch of new things. Is when I got the deal with Gravatar, they were like, well, can you expand on this a little bit, you know, from the earlier cut? So I was like, yeah, totally. There's more stuff I wanted to put in there. To answer your question, John, like, are you saying, is there one part of the film that really stands out for me, or...
Yeah, or just, yeah, anything that I think would give insight at least to our listeners as to how special a guy this was. I mean, I only met him once, but he just had a way about him that he made an impression on you for life in those 30 or 60 seconds.
You know, and Kenny might know this too. I mean, Charles had a very unique way of communicating with people. He always made you feel very special. For years and years, I thought I was incredibly special. And then when I went to his funeral, I would hear other people talk. And, like, he had the ability to make you feel special in his communication. Like, you was the one that, you know, kind of, like, made him feel special. And he had this weird way of communicating where you felt you was the one, that you was incredibly big in his life. And he would do that to everyone. So he would have these kind of like quotes for you. Like every time you see me, it's Razor Razak. And he had the nickname, and, you know, we'd have this crazy communication. But he would have that with everyone. So I think the biggest ability was that he had an ability to, you know, make you feel special. I don't know if you experienced that, Kenny. Did he have a kind of way of communicating with you too? Or?
Without a doubt. And I think one thing that came across in your movie was the fact that he didn't come from this happy, special place either. He had demons coming up. And I think you saw a guy who had defeated and moved past those demons and realized it's only through positivity that he can really rise above. And once he held on to that, he passed that on to every single – I have chills thinking about this. I remember talking to him on an airplane going from, I think, Vegas to Boston. And just his energy that came across was so special. He was so positive. And you carried that with you. He passed that on to you. So just a really, really special human being.
Absolutely. I mean, he was a black man from San Bernardino who kind of came from nothing. And he just had to fight to get everything he wanted in life. And so watching his story, even on a business level, was incredible. Always kind of like, you know, kind of growing up in Tottenham, I didn't have any role models. Growing up, especially, I came from a very impoverished area, drugs, nobody really did anything in life. And then meeting Charles, seeing this man of color, like pushing forward, breaking barriers, going to a new level. He was also like, he was kind of like a mentor and a friend too. I just was always, you know, I always was in awe of him. You know what I mean? He was like my Denzel Washington, you know?
Well, and I think even those of us that admired him from afar and didn't have the super close personal relationship sort of put him on that pedestal, were in awe of the persona. The film suggests that he was an introvert, Bobby, which is something that I never expected to hear.
Man, he was a crazy introvert. He would go into the mask character and be gregarious and fun-loving and crazy. But when he took up that when he took out mask, he was very insecure. He was very quiet, wasn't a great communicator, was a little bit odd, had a hard time, you know, speaking to people. I remember I was working in a nightclub called Ivar. I was a bouncer. And we had worked on my first film, Rites of Passage. So I hadn't seen him for like around a year. And I saw him in a club. And he didn't know I was a bouncer at a club. And I just went up to him and I started speaking to him. And we had lost touch for like around a year. And I remember he was completely stuttering, didn't know how to communicate with me. And I was like, because he didn't have, that was the first time I saw him without masks. He was like normal Charles Lewis. And I remember he was completely bumbling. It was just like totally fascinating to see him go from this crazy big character to, like, you know, simple Clark Kent, you know?
And that really was his superhero costume. And that was his costume, you know?
Yes, he was greatly influenced by Kiss. He loved Kiss and he wanted to, you know, the costume and the superheroes away from him to get out of his character. And actually, before he died, we were basically working on another character where he was going to be the evil mask. So you had Charles Lewis,
wow,
his mask, who wanted to do good. then he had this crazy evil mask, and that was the kind of character. We see the commercial when he jumps off the building, and then he kind of morphs into his animal. So he always liked to explore with different characters, different personas, kind of like the guy, Man in the Moon. What's his name again? The Man
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman was very complicated, and you know, and I think Charles was incredibly, incredibly complicated. And you know, if you didn't understand that while working with him, it could be a kind of problem sometimes.
Well, I'm excited to watch the film and get to know this great human being even more. Mask available this week on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, several other places as well. Bobby Razzik, good to talk to you, man. We wish you all the best with the film. And props to you, man, for paying this type of tribute to your dear friend. So congratulations on it, and hopefully we can get the word out for it. Thanks for a few minutes today, my man.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Kenny. I'm going to go right to my laptop. I'm going to press a button. And I expect an instant loan.
Yeah, go get that.
I'm
Rocket
doing it right
Mortgage.
Now.
Get all over it. Quickenloans.com. No, RocketMortgage.com. I'm giving the wrong
word. Rocket Mortgage, baby. One button. Boom. You're set. $1 million.
Hey, thank
Kenny,
you, buddy. We'll talk soon,
you,
all right?
Kenny, I'm expecting to press a button and get the mansion you're living in.
Perfect.
All right,
good
guys.
Talking to you, man.
RocketMortgage.com/ANIK. See, Bobby doesn't know Ken Flo's downsized a little bit. Focuses
right.
on the
have,
kid now.
I have.
No more banter.
Trying to be
Come
more
on,
simple.
Bobby.
I'm trying to
got
be
to keep
simple.
Up. Yeah. Kenny, I know you knew Mask well, though, and sort of part of your prime dovetailed with when he was doing a lot of things in the space. So you saw the movie, and I'm excited to see it here in the next couple weeks.
It's powerful, man. I cried at least once. he was a charismatic guy, and I'll be honest with you, I never would have signed with Tap Out if it wasn't for Charles Mask Lewis. Just the way that he communicated to me, the realness and what he portrayed was quite special.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. You guys have to see it. If you want to understand where the sport is now, go see where we were and where he came from and what kind of trials and tribulations he came through trying to explain to people what mixed martial arts is and was.
Ken Flo, you got BattleBots going on, so I trust I will not see you on the desk for UFC 223. Is that right?
No, sir. Unfortunately, I won't be there at the desk. That was one I was really looking forward to, man.
Are you going
to
be able to watch this thing live, though, or probably not?
Yeah, no, I think I will be able to. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
All right, and I will be on the call with Joe Rogan, Jimmy Smith. I hope you'll tune in. Prelims, UFC Fight Pass, FS1, followed by the main card on pay-per-view. All right, that will do it for this week. Thank you to our guests, Daniel Cormier, Bobby Razzik, Ray Longo, Dallas Singer on the picks. With that, for the flow, I'm John Anik for everybody at Fox Sports. Thank you all for listening, for subscribing. Have a great week. Enjoy the hell out of UFC 223, and we'll be with you about 48 hours thereafter to recap the whole thing. It shall be done this weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Until then, you later.
Woo!
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.